And appreciate just a good spirit of praise this morning. What a wonderful song that we just heard. I think any song that just lifts up the character and nature of God is worth just meditating on, and just that ought to work something in our hearts as Christians, right? And I appreciate just your faithfulness again. Good to see the Nielsens here after a time in the States and just visiting back, I think, and so we're glad for them. And then I know that many of the church has been praying for Paul's mum, who's been in hospital, and we're glad for the good reports that she's improving and stabilizing. Continue to pray for her. And then just wanted to pass on my greetings on behalf of the Anderson family in Geelong. They've just had a good run of things over the last couple of weeks. And just on Sunday, they had a record crowd. They had just about 40 odd at church, so they were pretty full. And I said, hey, it's time to expand. But anyway, we're just, they're excited that God's working, and I know they appreciate the church's prayers and faithfulness. And really, they're just moving forward. Daniel's been able to take an extra 2 days off work. Already the church is able to supply for his need for those 2 days. So they're growing, and they're taking that on in earnest. And then, you know, even just small things like the rent for their facility, for the church there, we've been helping them with that. But from now till the end of the year, and then going onward, Lord willing, they're going to take that on as well. And so just that's how church should be. It should be growing, right? And that's exciting for us to see that. But Joshua chapter 6 this morning, and I appreciate your interest over the course of our series. And today will be the last time we'll be in Joshua. I figured, you know, the first 6 chapters will do as we come into another time of the year, another season of the year. And I do want to encourage you to come along next week already. Think about the course of study that we're going to go through. And I really want to be able to just prepare us for the summer and just give some good principle there as we navigate through as a family what summer looks like. But then also in the evening, I know Pastor Phil has been preparing for his part of the series and summer proofing your faith and just our walk with God and just some things that we need to just get back on. You know, the danger in all of that is that over the summer, just your schedule changes a little bit. And sometimes when we're off schedule and we're sort of just have a little bit more time, we can relax in the wrong areas. We can relax in some areas, but we can relax in the wrong areas, including even our own walk and just our family time. And so we want to encourage the church that way as we head into the summer season. But for now, we're going to cover 2 verses. And Joshua chapter 6, and was well read this morning. As we think about where they're up to, you understand that the nation is now in earnest in the conquest of the land. They're into now conquering the walls of Jericho has just fallen. And last week we learned about just God's rescue plan, how God in his rescue of us isn't just going to rescue us from the consequences of the world that we're living in and the consequences and sometimes the rumblings and the feelings of that as Christians. No, he rescues us not just to be rescued, but to belong. And just that relationship that we now have belonging in the family of God. And I hope that that's been a great part of your week, just the encouragement of that. I don't know about you, but over the course of time, sometimes you're going through and you're struggling through some things. But knowing that church is coming and knowing that we can be around God's people and be around the Word of God, that just keeps me going at times, right? And now we get into just the last 2 really verses of this section of the book of Joshua. And we read here that Joshua gives a curse. And yet, here's what we read in verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua. You know, sometimes we can read verses like that and parts of verses like that and sort of just read over it as if it just means just that. But recognize this, that over the course of even the beginning of our series, the beginning of the book of Joshua, God's promise to Joshua was that he would be with him. He said, be courageous, for I'm going to be with you. And here the Bible confirms that the Lord indeed was with Joshua. And don't take that for granted in your own life. You understand that if you're a believer this morning, the Bible tells us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And as you go through, and there might be some things that you're desiring in your own heart, and there's some things that can sometimes draw us away and distract us from the promotion of the will of God in our lives, we can sometimes forget and take for granted just the great comfort and consolation that we have in the fact that He will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, even sitting with a group of people this week and just talking through what it means to be filled with the Spirit, and understanding that in the first place, positionally, each and every one of us who are saved, we're now indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And just that whole idea and the reality that we have God the Spirit in us dwelling, empowering, enabling, guiding, comforting, all of that ought to fill us with just a sense of privilege, a sense of blessing, but a sense of responsibility for the fact that we have the Holy Spirit and we have His presence. And here, the Bible's very clear. So the Lord was with Joshua. It wasn't just this casual remark that the Bible throws out there that the Word of God preserves for us. It was really, when you think about it, the defining statement of Joshua's life. You think about the journey of Joshua. Joshua, as a young man, really was a servant to Moses. He was just someone who just came alongside Moses and served him. Even the Bible says just simply did things like washing Moses' hands. He just came and he just was with Moses. He went. When Moses went, he went. And for a while there, that's all Joshua did. He was really a man who was just someone who was willing to serve another. And yet what we know is Joshua then became the chosen leader after Moses. He followed after Moses, and now Joshua journeyed for 40 years in the wilderness, went through all of the things that that Moses went through, and saw the frustration, saw leadership right at the very basic of it, right at the very ground zero of it, and saw all the frustrations of leadership and all of the things that happens in the background that not everyone sees. And Joshua was able to see that, only to now accept the call to take that on. You understand, having seen that, the same frustrations that Moses had, guess whose it was going to be? It was going to be now Joshua's. I remember when I first took on the pastorate years ago, I was an associate for a long time. And by the way, I loved it. I loved every moment of it. It was hard. It was sometimes challenging, but I loved it. I loved coming alongside my pastor at the time and just seeing God work and seeing all of that. And I got to see all of that background. But, you know, it wasn't until I sat in the seat that I understood the weight. And you know, sometimes in our lives, we look at the promotions of God. Always throughout, I love to read the second part of verse 27, where the Bible says this, and His fame was noised throughout all the country. You know, we want our name spoken, and we want there to be promotion in our lives, and we want there to be some sort of going forward in the will of God. And you know, all of us here, we hope in our own lives, we hope in our children's lives, and we hope in those that we're involved with, the church. We want promotion. We want to see us progress forward, and I hope that is your attitude this morning. But you understand that there's a path. You understand that this wasn't just merely that His fame was noised abroad. No, Joshua had to go through some things. Joshua had to find himself at times in those moments where he had to trust God. Remember, just recently we talked about just the walls of Jericho. You know, him pacing and him trying to figure out, how are we going to do this? And you see God's miraculous hand in that. But then even previous to that, he's wrestling with the angel of the Lord. Then previous to that, figuring out how to cross this body of water that was impossible to cross, that River Jordan. And then beyond that, just the journeying through the wilderness. And then we arrive here. You know, earlier on in the same book, in the book of Joshua, we see that as he sanctified the people, the Bible tells us that the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of the people. And as part of what God does in our lives is we're following Him with courageous faith, is that really He's trying to promote us. He's trying to move us forward. He's trying to get us to a place that is different, that is more responsible, that is more involved. And you know, this month we're driving towards our ministry market of just involvement and just participation and really this commitment. And I hope we've got the mindset this morning that we don't just want to be the same as we did this year. No, we just want to keep going. We want to keep going forward. We want to understand where we want to be for the Lord. We want to take steps where we're going to take some more commitment in the things of Him. You know, I'm glad for the opportunity to be stable, but God just doesn't want stability. God wants promotion. God's moving us forward. God's understanding where we need to be, and He often will bring us to places that give us a little bit of discomfort to move us on. But here now, Joshua, having learned some things, he's really talking about God's promotional plan. How God will promote the people now. How them as a group will learn from perhaps some of the things that he has learned to be able to take steps forward. And you know, there's a great assurance of God's presence and that marked every step Joshua took. And by the way, there's the same promise for us too. And the Bible is very clear here in these two verses about two things. See, you know, one writer observed that nothing can more raise a man's reputation nor make him appear more truly great than to have the evidence of God's presence with him. You know, we could all approach this subject matter in the sense of our talents and our giftings. We could look at that and you might argue this morning, well, I'm not as gifted in this area. I'm not as talented in this area. And no doubt all of us here, we're all varying in our abilities and our calling and our gifting and all of that. But that's not what matters. What matters is God with you? What matters is do you give God the space in your life to have control? And you know what so often boils down to? It's simply this, just taking some responsibility. You know, I've been reading a little bit again about just different history. And, you know, I love reading biographies. That's probably my personal favorite is to read biographies. And I've been reading one recently on Sir Henry Parkes. But then just before that, I was reading a little bit about Sir Winston Churchill. And if you understand, Churchill, you know, before World War II, really he was in the peripheries of politics. He really was. His party was in opposition. They weren't really doing well. And here was his political career seemed to not really be going forward, but it was dwindling. He was going through a little bit of hardship, a little bit of a conflict of conscience about where he's supposed to be in life and what he's supposed to be doing. And yet, when the sirens of World War II happened, we find that not only was Churchill no longer in opposition, he was also the leader of his party, but he also became the leader of his nation during wartime. And you know, he said this when it came to it. He said later on, as he ignored all of the populist views and he rallied the nation behind him, Churchill said this: "The price of greatness is responsibility." You know, so often when it comes to it, as God's people, there's things that were just God gave us that is just within our grasp, and it's just taking responsibility. And I'm saying to you this morning, be the Christian that you should be. Be the husband that you should be. Be the wife that you should be. Be the child that you should be. Be the servant that you should be. And God, so often, in that ownership of your role and your part, God will just work in your life to bring you to some sort of significance. And I think that's what Joshua learned. See, when God calls you to stand in faith, He also shoulders the responsibility Himself of just promoting you in His time. See, Joshua's promotion, it didn't come from really titles or applause. It came, again, back to that subject matter that we've been looking at, faith, trust. You see, he believed when others doubted. Remember, he was one of the two spies. It's Joshua and Caleb. When they went, the 12 spies went out and 10 were bad and 2 were good. You know that song, right? And the two came, they came, and unlike the 10 who had an evil report, they gave a good report. When others doubted, Joshua didn't. Joshua believed. Joshua had faith. You know, he marched when others perhaps murmured. He waited when others wandered. And in the fullness of time, the Bible tells us in verse 27, the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised abroad throughout all the country. And how God promotes his people is really at times through battles that refine our faith. That's the context in which we read these couple of verses. Really, the battle was there. And the battle, remember God's battle plan, it was unconventional. It wasn't like a normal battle plan. It was all about trusting him. It so often comes, his promotion through battles that refine our faith, through obedience, that really invites his presence into our life, invites him to have more of a say, more control, more leading, more submitting to him. And it really comes through endurance that in the end earns not the crowd's recognition, but his recognition. Because one day, the great reward for the Christian is that he'll speak to you and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, you might look at your life today and you might say, "Hey, I don't know how God's moving me forward." And yet, if you really look back, perhaps even if no one notices, God's doing something in your life. God's trying to, if you're trusting him and if you're believing in him and if you're just understanding what your role and responsibility is, God's pushing you forward and God's answering some prayers and God's just ministering to you through the word. And there's times when in your fellowship, in your conversations, God's bringing you to places, and through the trials, through the testing, through the battles, God's bringing you forward. He's just adding more to your arsenal. And when you walk with God, you don't have to chase promotion. His presence will announce it. And notice something, again, remarkable. Right after Joshua's fame spread throughout the land, the Bible actually records a warning that Joshua gives us here. Joshua, in verse 26, says this, "And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, 'Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho.'" Hey, isn't that obvious? They've just flattened the city. They didn't. God did, right? Miraculously. Remember the story? They walked around silently for 6 days, and then for the seventh day, they walked around 7 times silent, and then they yelled really loudly. And then what happened? The walls fell down. And after all of that, isn't it obvious that you shouldn't rebuild it? But that's the very words that God gives Joshua to speak. He pronounces a curse. "Cursed be that man." And the victory over Jericho, it wasn't simply about walls falling. It was about God removing the very thing that should never be rebuilt again. The ruins of Jericho were intended to serve really as a reminder that faith doesn't return to old strongholds. When God grants you victory, he calls you forward, not backward. And so Joshua's first act, when you look at this, after being magnified by God, was actually to protect that testimony of victory. He refused to let progress turn into pride. And that's the trick, isn't it? So often when we go forward, then there's a temptation to be prideful about what we see in our lives. And God uses Joshua to remind us about what it takes to be promoted. Joshua's first act was to refuse to let progress turn into pride. And what he declared was, don't rebuild this. And that's where we begin as we think about the first point this morning. There's no reason to go backwards. You know, in verse 26, again, he adjured them at the time. That word adjured, it's a word that's interesting. It means to swear or to bind by an oath. In biblical context, that word adjure, it means to refer to solemnly urging. He's urging them. He's commanding them. He's commanding someone to do something based on divine authority. He's saying, "By in all that God has given you, don't do this." And guys, listen, church, listen. There's so much that God has done. There's so much that God's done in your life. Hey, if you're saved here this morning, God's changed your eternity. Let's not undersell that this morning. God has changed your nature. You're a new creature. And he's saying, by all the power of God,
By all that God has done, don't do this, is what he swear. Have a solemn oath. He's saying, he adjured them. He spoke to the nation, don't do this by all that God has done. And he's pronouncing it, that curse on man, again in verse 26, he says, before the Lord. He's saying it to help them understand. And you know, if you study a little bit, we won't take the time to turn there. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, someone does rebuild it. Someone tries to rebuild a little bit of that wall and that curse, that he says, cursed be the man before the Lord, who shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. Something happens in that family's life. You can read it about it later. But God looks at that adjournment and he honors it. He honors that curse that Joshua pronounces. And here again, we note God's attitude to promotion. If you're going to move forward, don't look back. Hey, isn't that obvious? Right? I think all of us here would be very challenged if we had a race. One, because, you know, some, like me, is a little unfit, all right? But you might be challenged by if we said, okay, ready, set, go. But here, before we say go, the only way you're going to win this race is if you look backward and run forward. All right, who thinks they're going to be injured? I'm going to put both hands up, right? Because that's difficult. You know, when you're trying to run forward and you're always looking backward, there's a physical hindrance there, right? But so often, when it comes to our spiritual life, when it comes to our life for God, when it comes to just moving forward, and really how God defines promotion is just moving forward in His will for your life. When we're doing that and we're constantly looking back, what's going to happen is that there's a great hindrance. And even Jesus said this. He simply said it in Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, the whole idea of the kingdom of God is just a pursuit of his will. And you understand that he's saying no man having put his hand to the plow, is he's making an agricultural picture here, that plow, the rowing, the turning of the soil to make those rows of planting. He's saying if you're going to look ahead, you can't look back. So you can't keep looking back. And what faith does, it refuses to rebuild what God has torn down. And listen, guys, church, there's many things that God, in saving you, has broken down. You understand that Jericho very much symbolized man's pride and opposition to God's purposes. The Bible tells us that we are no longer to walk in the fashion of this world. We're to go against the grain of how the world's going. And listen, church, Christian, this morning, when you got saved, God's trying to move you forward in the faith. You're not meant to go the same way as the world. The Bible tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2. You're no longer the children of disobedience. You're no longer the children of darkness. You're supposed to refuse those things that God has torn down in your life. And rebuilding Jericho, it meant returning to old ways, old sins, and old securities. Those things that used to be what you used to do and used to say. You know, there's a song I'm trying to teach our teens. Right? Ready? You guys in the front row, we're going to sing this together. Ready? Ready? The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's three of them singing. Look at that. I have failed in my teaching, right? But we sing that song. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. There's been a great, great change, right? And we have a bit of fun with it. But then the next verse is, the things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. The place I used to go, I don't go them anymore. And that's the point. Listen, when you get saved and God's promoting you, it's hard to go forward when you're looking back. It's hard to go forward when you're doing the same things and you understand that when you're saved here on earth, yes, God gives you the victory and God gives you a new nature, but listen, you still have the old nature you have to contend with. But you're supposed to refuse those things. You're supposed to look at those things that were formerly you. And by the way, can I remind you this morning that you're a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And here we go. We're living sacrifices. We keep picking ourselves up, going after the old stuff. He's saying, don't rebuild it. And God's people must never resurrect what He's already judged or replaced in our lives. And if God has brought you out of sin, if God has brought you out of doubt, if God has brought you out of fear, don't rebuild the walls He tore down. Don't. And faith refuses to rebuild what God has torn down. And really, faith learns from the past instead of living in it. That's why in the New Testament, the whole teaching on sin is this, that we ought to reckon ourselves dead unto sin. And if there's a time where you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're meant to reckon yourself dead unto sin. That word reckon just simply means to just think and recognize. You know, so much of our Christian life is just to pause and think about who we are in Christ. Who we are now. We used to be that, but we're no longer this. He says, reckon yourselves dead unto sin, that ye need no longer to live therein. And so many times our old life, and you know, the nation of Israel had this problem. They may not have rebuilt some things physically, but they kept rebuilding some things in their heart. Remember, even in their journey through the wilderness, they kept looking back at the leeks and the garlics and the onions, and they kept looking back at their old life in Egypt, and they started to complain about the manna, and in Egypt, we used to eat the meat and the flesh and all of that. And God says, hey, listen, I'm gonna replace that. I'm going to give you all these quails. You're going to eat them every day, and you're going to have the manna, and you have all this miraculous provision. And they kept, their heart kept rebuilding things that were formerly their lives. And listen, as Christians, we so can be tempted with the former things. You know, even as you look at your own life, how far you've come, we can so easily start to look back at, oh, when I wasn't, I used to have my Sundays free. I mean, that was the best fishing, you know. Oh, and I could do, man, how can I do in 6 days what I used to do in 7 days? And, you know, so often when you talk to those that you're trying to lead through the gospel and lead through in their belief in Christ, one of the arguments they make is, oh, if I believe in Christ, then I can't do that anymore. And you're like, you're right. But that's the thing. It's holding them back. You know, because by nature, we want to do what we want to do. And so often, even as Christians, there's no reason to turn back. There's no reason. And I'm saying promotion requires progression. And you know, he warns. He says, like a dog returns, and this is one of the most graphic things that God says, like a dog returning to his what? Vomit. Gross. And you know, that's so often the picture that God sees of us when the things that should have been left in the past keeps getting rebuilt in our hearts and in our actions. And the cost really is this: we can't move forward if we're looking back. The cost of rebuilding what God has destroyed is always higher than the gain. And like Lot's wife who looked back, it cost her. She turned into a pillar of salt. And faith, it keeps its eyes on the promise, not the past. And every backward step, every time we look back and every time we desire something that was former, you know what that is? It's a delay in God's promotion of you. It's a delay. It's a hindrance. And every backward step is a delay in God's destiny for you. The call to faith, as I'm saying, is a call to forward looking, forward motion. And we can't walk in newness while holding on to the ruins. And so often, it's really just that, and we could just close here, but I won't, because I told the teens last night, the last time I'm going to preach short is last night. So some of you are disappointed. It's okay, I'll pray for you. But then we see verse 27. Here's the next principle as God moves us forward, is just we've got to move forward with blessing. He says, so the Lord was with Joshua. again, this was God's original promise when he changed Joshua at the beginning of the book. And again, Joshua 1:9 is one of our key verses. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid. Why? Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And the only way we can move forward is with blessing. Here's the thing, though. Is sometimes we want to move forward in our own power. You know, we try to discipline our lives, and we think discipline is the key, and discipline's part of it. But it's going to be discipline with divine strength. It's going to be discipline with His power. It's going to be discipline with His enabling in your life. You know, there's many people in the world today who, if you were to look at their lives in comparison to maybe even your own life, you might think that they're so moral and they're so upright and they're so righteous. But in the sight of God, God sees that as filthy rags because they do it in their own strength. They do it out of their own willpower. And yet so many times what God wants to do in promoting us, He wants to move us forward with His blessing. See, what faith brings when we approach our promotion with faith is faith brings God's presence. The Lord was with Joshua. And I want to say again, that's the real mark of promotion in your life, is you have more of God's presence in your life. Even one of the greatest, in fact, the Bible tells us he's the greatest born among women. Who's that, church? John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist said this. What did he say? What's his famous verse? He must increase, but I must decrease. And the mark of promotion in your life is more of God. Not actually more things. It's more of Him. You know, this year, do you have more of God than you did last year? Do you have more? And that's a challenging thought. That's a challenging, deep thought to really think about. See, faith brings God's presence. The true success is not about position. It's about presence. And I'm saying that when God is with you, even silence becomes a strategy. That was the strategy. And marching becomes a miracle. And I want to remind you, look at Romans chapter 8, one of the best chapters in the Bible. Romans chapter 8. And notice verse 31. Notice what he says. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us forever there. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's a rhetorical question. He'll answer it himself. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay. So nothing. He says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, that's forward. But it's His presence. He's with us. He's for us. And what then happens is that faith then produces testimony. Because here's the second part of verse 27. His fame was noised throughout all the country. And God's manner of promotion, it makes the world notice at times. And Joshua, again, he didn't self-promote. Here's what did it for him. Obedience did it for him. He didn't self-promote. You know, we live in a world of self-promotion, right? And I get that there's just putting it out there. But so often we're trying to promote, and we're trying to, And we do that without the very needful thing of just God's presence in our life. And Proverbs 22:29, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. You see, if you would take care, someone said this to me one time, if you would take care of the burning, God will take care of the shining. If you would just burn in your heart for the Lord, if you would just burn in your devotion, if you would just burn in your faith, if you would just burn in your obedience to Christ, if you would just burn, then you know what? God will take care of the shining. That's His responsibility. And faith, it really progresses from victory to visibility. See, His fame was noised throughout all the country, and each act of obedience, it really builds not your credibility, but God's credibility in you. And God's promotion, it's not without purpose. It's not to glorify yourself, but it's to glorify His name. And that's how you know. That's how you know. See, when faith moves, God moves. And God wants to work in you. And really, at the end of it, it comes down to this, what we've been talking about for all these, however many, 14-part series. It just comes to faith. Because promotion comes to those who believe. Promotion comes to those who believe. Jericho's walls fell, but it was without battle, actually. Why? Because God's ways are higher. His battle plan was unconventional. His rescue plan was unwavering, and now His promotional plan, it's really unmatched. Because here's God's economy. Promotion in God's kingdom comes not by force. It comes by faith. Faith. You see, we won't take the time, but in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, 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 by faith. I think I counted 16 times, because 16 times by faith was spoken. And you can put every name before that phrase, and it was by faith. Promotion comes to those who believe. You know, it's so simple, right? It's childlike faith. Do you believe God's word? Do you believe in times when there is reason to doubt that God is true to His word? And 16 times, and what God is saying, faith is the victory. Faith. And He exalts those who just in humility, who in sincerity, who in just simple obedience, trust Him. Do you trust God? You know, you've gone through this year, and I don't know the details of your life. I have observed some who've gone through difficulties this year. I've observed some who there's been a real sense of that promotion in their life, and if you were to really dig down, so much of it is just simple obedience and simple faith, and courageous at times, but simple faith. They've taken risks. Some of you are averse to risk. You hate it. And that's why you won't take risks with an unseen God who has given us promises in His word, though. And you sneer, and you sort of go around and you look at, how did that happen? Listen, you don't understand. Because you don't walk by faith. You walk by sight. And you'll go around and you'll just be sarcastic and cynical about things that happen, that you just go, it's because this and that and this. Hey, it doesn't add up to you, because actually you don't understand how God works. You're just walking by sight. And listen, what God requires is faith. For without faith, you can't please God. And so promotion in the end comes to those who believe. Hey, listen, you don't have it all. You don't have to have it all figured out. God's got it figured out. You don't have to know everything. Actually, by faith, it's required is this: you just believe in His evidence, in His substance, and what that is faith. Faith. See, the Bible's careful to tell us for promotion cometh not from the east nor the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He's the one that does the promoting. He's the one that moves us forward. He hath, in Luke 1:52, He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. You know what we do? We lower ourselves before the standard of God in His word. we submit ourselves to the obedience of how God wants us to approach. We submit ourselves to just the authority of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, who's a teacher. And we submit to that, and we submit to the structures of God's working. And what we find is we're moving along. We're moving along in our lives. And God's promotional plan, it starts where human plans end. And we need to refuse to go backwards. Hey, God's closed that chapter. We need to move forward with faith. Hey, His blessings will follow if you just simply obey. And like Joshua, I hope our testimony will declare the Lord was with me. You see, when we stop rebuilding the past, God can then start revealing our promotion. And this chapter of the story, it really closes, but the call of courageous faith continues today. The people of God, we now stand where promises meet fulfillment. The wilderness behind us, the promised land before us, the people here, they've crossed the Jordan by faith. They've watched the walls of Jericho fall by obedience. And now they stand ready to walk in the reality of all that God has spoken. And what their journey teaches us is this: every promise of God is reached by those who dare to trust Him completely. Do you dare? Do you dare today? Or are you smarter than God? Or do we just have more, you know, we have more to give than God? Listen, courageous faith, it doesn't just believe in victory, it steps forward to claim it. And I want to encourage you, hey, sometimes, hey, you need to just shut some doors today. Stop rebuilding something that God's already torn down. Hey, go forward in His blessing. Make sure you're doing it in His power. Make sure you're doing it with His presence. And just simply believe. Courageous faith is simple faith. And I want to encourage you as we close this time to just examine your heart and just let God just maybe put some things in place that just he's just saying, hey, shut that. Shut that door. Hey, you don't need to rebuild that. Hey, I adjure you. And then we just move forward, believing, acknowledging that we need Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity today. Lord, to just close out a wonderful series of just challenge in faith. And Father, the need today is faith. It's always been. The just shall live by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Father, it's by faith that we see the unseen. It's by faith that we endure through unknowns. And it's by faith that we endure through questions and moments of being uncomfortable and seeking you. And Lord, it's by faith. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we just have this time to just look to you, Lord. You said that we walk by faith, not by sight. So help us as we move forward in our journey to just trust you, to, Lord, believe with simple faith, Lord, all that you're able to do, and help us then to move forward as individuals, but as a church, as a family. Lord, as we seek you, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to then just be the people that will just say your presence is with us. And I pray that you'd help us. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. We're just going to have a time of invitation, and I know you've listened well through the course of this morning.